Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
On Sunday, you know, we heard, and this you can get a little loud for this, we heard a fantastic word on the danger of the demonic. It was part three in our series on the heart of a giant killer, and it was so good. If you, for some reason, missed it, you wanna go catch it online on YouTube, go listen to it, watch the whole thing. You'll be so glad you did. And yet, even as we're thinking about this in the life of Saul and what happened as the door really in his life got opened to that, I'm thinking also about all of those. So maybe you've been a Christian for a long time. In fact, my guess is that most of the people in the room, the majority of the people in the room who are listening to what I'm saying, maybe everybody is gonna agree with this, that the devil is real. Okay, good. Demons are real. And that opening your life up to the demonic in any way, shape, or form is very dangerous. Everybody agree with that? So we're all on that same page, which is really good because all of that is true and all of that is important. And as we came into the prayer meeting tonight, throughout the day, part of what I felt like the Lord was stirring in my heart concerning what he wanted to speak to us tonight from his word was, though you can believe the devil is real, and you can believe demons are real, and you can wholeheartedly agree that allowing your life to be open up to the demonic is very, very deadly and dangerous, you need to be reminded, and I need to be reminded, of the importance of resisting the devil. Because you can know there's a devil, and you can know there are demons, and you can know it's dangerous, and not know how to resist the attack of the enemy on your life. As a believer, the devil hates you. Sorry to break that to you. He hates you. He hates God's plan for your life. He hates the accomplishment of God's purpose in your life. He hates it. He wants to derail you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to discourage you. And he will relentlessly oppose you and attack you to see it done. Which is why James writes in James chapter 4 these words about resisting the devil. He says this, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Can somebody say that last part is good? That's good. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And there are some truths that James wants us to see about the power of our actions to resist the devil. And there's at least three that I want to point you to in these two verses. And the first is this, that resisting starts with submitting. Resisting starts with submitting. Go back to verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. So James wants us to understand that in order for you to do offense or resist or stand your ground against the enemy, it's going to start not with how you look at or relate to or think about the enemy. It's going to have everything to do with the way that you relate, look at, and think about God and what he wants to do in your life. It starts with you not thinking about what the devil is doing, but thinking solely and singularly about what God is doing. What is God speaking to me? What is God talking to me? What is God putting his finger on in my heart or in my life that he wants to change or rearrange? What is God doing? It's this idea of submission. And the Greek word that James uses is hupostasomai. So hupostasomai is this military term, and it really means to align oneself under the authority of another. So it's this idea that I am thinking of myself as somebody in the Lord's army. Does anybody remember singing about this in Sunday school? We have few, the proud, the brave. I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yeah, you guys get a major A+ on that. So good. And my hope is that in learning the song, it became the alignment of your life. Because the song is great. What's even more important is that when God puts his finger on something in your life, or God speaks to something that he wants to change in your life, or that God rebukes you kindly, gently about an attitude or a thought or the priority that's out of whack, that you go, oh, wait, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. What you're speaking to my heart, I 100% do, because I am not the captain of my fate. I am not the master of my soul. I have a captain and I have a master, and it is God Almighty. And so I'm fully submitted to him. And here's why James starts with this issue of submission, because submitting to God's authority is to resist the devil. That's where he's going. Submitting to God's authority is to resist the devil. Why? Because whatever God does, Satan always counterfeits. God says, I'm in charge. Satan goes, no, I'm in charge. He wants to mimic God, and he ultimately wants to replace the voice of God in anybody's life who will let him. So he draws you in with things that he knows will entice you, things that sound better to you, things that sound easier. Always think of this. I didn't have to teach my kids to like sugar. They came wired that way. But we do have to teach them to like the better things and the finer things. I had to teach them to like filet mignon, and now I'm sad I did, because it's a lot more expensive than sugar. But the best things in life are an acquired taste. And here's the thing. Satan's always going to counterfeit what God is doing and put something enticing in front of you, something easy in front of you. And James is saying, submitting to God is resisting the devil. When you come under his authority, you're automatically resisting the attack of the enemy. That's true in your thoughts. It's true in your relationships. It's true in your money. It's true in your priorities. In every area of your life, you want to bring yourself into alignment with God, not simply because that's the right thing to do, it's the godly thing to do, but also it is what shields you from the attack of the enemy. The more submitted you are to God's authority, the more resistant your life is to the devil's attack. The more submitted your life is to God's authority, the more resistant you are to the devil's attack. And any area where your life is not fully under the authority of Almighty God, it is at least in part under the authority of the enemy. Because where you've resisted God's voice and where you've said, no, I'm going to cordon that part off, you are automatically yielding ground to the enemy of your soul. You're automatically yielding ground to the devil, because he ultimately is about doing what? Rebelling against God. And when you say, God, I'm not submitting to you in this area of my life, you're doing what the devil does. And what ultimately you're doing is you're yielding authority to the enemy over an area of your life. James says, don't do that. Start by submitting yourself to God, because in submitting, you are resisting. And in submitting, you're making your life resistant to the attack of the enemy. Now, not only says that it starts with submission, but this is the second truth about resisting the enemy. Resisting is strengthened by resisting. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, that's a powerful command attached to a really encouraging promise. If I will resist the devil will flee from me. But here's what everybody needs to understand. This is not like a one and done scenario. This isn't like, well, that one time I resisted the devil and he fled from me and I've never seen him again. It's not how it works. That he's going to come back. You resist him, he will 100% flee, but he's going to show up again and again and again and again. Here's the good news. Resistance is a muscle. So in the life of a believer, the more you train yourself to resist the enemy, to resist temptation, to say no, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The more you do that, guess what? The more natural it becomes. Because you begin to cooperate again and again with the voice of the Holy Spirit. You yield again and again and again. You're resisting. And just like if you go to the gym, you start lifting weights. Oh, that next day it feels terrible. And then it starts to feel less. You start to want to go. You start to want the resistance. You're training your body. But guess what? When you stop going, when you go on vacation, when you take a break, now it becomes harder to go. Oh, I don't really want to do that. Why? Because you haven't cultivated this resistance in your muscles, and now for your muscles scream at you and they don't want to do it. Because it's hard and it's difficult. And when you fail to resist the enemy, when that stops becoming the habit of your life in any area of your life, guess what happens? It gets easier and easier to fall prey to his attack and harder to resist him, because resistance is a muscle and resisting strengthens by resisting. So how do you build the muscle? How do you build the muscle so that you get better and better at resisting the attack of the enemy? And it starts with humility. You resist humbly. I love what Paul says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Where are you strong? You're strong when you are in the Lord. Your strength is found in him. Your strength is found in being surrounded by him. Your strength is found in being connected to him. And your strength is not found in yourself. I remember walking into these people's house when I was the West Campus pastor. They had asked me to come and pray over their home. I brought some other people, and we went into their home, and it was two ladies, and one of them was married. One of them was a sister, and the other one was married to the guy in the home, and then there were a couple of kids, and they were saying there was demonic activity in the home. It was really creepy and weird. And they said, I asked them, where does this primarily take place? And they said, in the master bedroom. And so it's not a big house. We went into the master bedroom. We circled up, grabbed hands to pray. And as I'm praying with my eyes open, and the dad is looking at me like this. So I just stopped and said, sir, do you agree with what we're doing right now? And he said, they're afraid of him. But I'm not. Those demons are afraid of me. And I said, can I just correct you on that? They are not afraid of you. They are not afraid of you. They are not afraid of whatever you think you're doing to intimidate them. The only one they're afraid of is God Almighty. And that's why it's good news that greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world. That's why it's good news that John writes in John chapter 2 and verse 14 these words. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Here's the good news. You overcome the evil one because God is on the inside of you. You overcome the evil one and resist the enemy because you're connected to the one who's got the strength you need to resist the enemy. That's how it happens. So it starts with this humble posture of, God, I desperately need what only you can provide. But it's also a confidently thing. You resist him confidently. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is the promise of God's word. Just because the devil is not scared of you doesn't mean you have to be scared of him. It's like when you've got a big brother behind you. It's like when you've got a friend behind you, except this friend is the most powerful friend in the entire universe. And all of a sudden, whatever comes against you, you got that guy standing behind you. There's this confidence that says, okay, no. I know not only God is for me, but I know what he has promised to do when I stand confidently and humbly in the strength that he supplies. The devil will flee. He'll make it. He'll see to it. He will bring it about. It will happen. I can stand confidently. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy as long as you are relying humbly on the strength and the power that only God can supply. But then finally, you also resist aggressively. Peter says, stay alert. Watch out, your great enemy, the devil. he prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Now look at, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Do you see the language of Peter? Stay alert, stand firm, be strong, stay alert, stand firm, be strong. In other words, this is not only not a one and done scenario, it is something that requires a vigilance on your part. It's something that requires an aggressiveness on your part, not to go to sleep for a second, because here's what you have to know. That if you fall asleep at the switch, if you stop being alert to the attack of the enemy, if you stop standing strong in faith, if you for a second stop standing firm, he'll seize the opportunity. You resist aggressively. I keep pushing back against the enemy's work in my life. I keep confidently pushing back against the enemy in my life. I keep humbly pushing back by the power of Almighty God against the work of the enemy in my life. He says, we resist by submitting our lives, by making sure there's no quadrant, no sector of our lives that isn't under God's authority. We resist by resisting building that strength. But resisting is sustained. It's sustained by coming close to God. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, scholars debate about this coming near. A lot of them say, you know what, this is repentance language. That's certainly true. We come near to God through repenting. But when you look at the scope of Scripture, the way we come near obviously starts with repenting. But we go deeper and deeper and get closer and closer as we call on him and get in his presence and cry out to him. That's where nearness is cultivated. Oh yes, repentance is important, but repentance is a gateway into relationship and deeper relationship with the living God. He doesn't want you to stay on the outskirts. He doesn't want you to stay distant. He wants to draw you close, and you draw close by cultivating that relationship with him, primarily in prayer. It primarily happens in prayer. It primarily happens as you position yourself in spaces just like this, where you say, God, I just want to be in your presence. God, I just want to be close to you, because if I'm going to sustain a life that is impenetrable to the enemy's attack, I'll have to be right next to you. I'll have to be as close to you as I can possibly get. Can I just ask you, is that the cry of your heart tonight? God, I want to be as close to you as I can possibly be. God, I want to run to you. I'm pursuing you, because that's absolutely critical and essential to you resisting the attack of the enemy that he is currently plotting for your life. I love what the scholar Kent Hughes says when he writes, step forward, step toward God, and he will sprint toward you. Sprint toward God, and he will fly to you. You know what? Some of you need to sprint to this altar tonight because you feel distant, and guess what? God is not distant. And if you will sprint to him, he will fly to you. If you'll get on your face before him, he'll run to you, and he'll meet you tonight with his power. Some of you are under attack. Some of you feel like the devil does have a foothold. Can I tell you, it doesn't have to end with bad news tonight. If you will get on your face before God, he will rally the forces of heaven. He will resist the attack of the enemy. He'll fill you with strength that you didn't know existed to stand firm and be strong. He'll do it. He wants to do it. He wants you to resist, and he wants you to empower you to resist. Right now, there's someone, you know you're under attack. There's someone you would say, you know what? I just know I'm not as close as I want to be, need to be, would like to be. And God says, come near to me. And here's the promise, I'll come near to you.